Everyone, please stand and join us in the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Dave, do you want to bring your plat up?
We want to approve the minutes?
So move to approve the minutes.
Second.
Commissioner Furman?
Yes.
Commissioner Jolivet?
Yes.
Commissioner Dixon?
Yes. I have one item for approval this morning. This is a final plat for Princeton and Gilmore subdivision. It's a commercial project located in Fairfield Township with four lots.
Move to approve.
Second.
Commissioner Furman?
Yes.
Commissioner Jolivet?
Yes.
Commissioner Dixon?
Yes.
David, you have anything else?
That's all I have.
Good, thank you.
Thanks.
Move on to the resolutions to be adopted. Tim?
To go into communications, first we have one travel request for you to consider. That is Jeff Weber, Workforce One, to attend Ohio Economic Education Leadership Summit, Columbus, Ohio, $450, February 24th. As we move into finance, we have three items on the agenda. We're pulling one item related to a grant to the Historical Society. So the first item to consider is general fund transfers and appropriations. And these include on the general fund, a reclassification between two accounts in the amount of $27,500. It's not a reclassification. It's a transfer of cash to the Drug Court program, the first of four installments transfer to the Drug Court program in the amount of $27,500. Next, in indigent drivers alcohol fund 303, we have an increase in the budget and a transfer between accounts of $2,030.14. To correct a prior year or to make a prior year adjustment per request of the auditor's office. Finally, we have established a new budget for Fund 3510 in the amount of $45,000 for developer reimbursement fees in water. Actually, this is in the sewer capacity fund. The next item for finance is transfers and appropriations for the care facility. And we have one item, which is a $3,000 transfer between accounts within that budget to for coding of postage expense. As we move on to personnel, we have four personnel items for your consideration. First is to accept and place on file employee payroll for Job and Family Services for the period January 17th to January 30th, 2009. This payroll has been reconciled to previously approved authorizations and resolutions by the Board of County Commissioners. Next item on the agenda is to return Nicholas Triplett in the Record Center computer based operator or technician from his back to his biweekly pay of $1,572.20. Next, under personnel, we have the, and this is in conjunction with later on the discussion over the general fund budget. We have the elimination of a general fund. This is a department, this is the Economic Development Department, where the positions of Economic Development Manager, Development Specialist, and Economic Development Director are to be abolished. To move on to the last item under personnel is the reallocation or the distribution into various accounts for Shauna Noble, who's an assistant administrator, and she's being reclassified to the position of wellness coordinator, and she is to be paid out of the health insurance fund 75%, water fund 9.7%, sewer fund 14.5% in solid waste district fund, 0.75%. As we move into Job and Family Services and Children's Services, we have 10 resolutions to consider today. First is to approve a child care contract with Loving Arms from period of February 109 to January 31, 2010, not to exceed $151,200. Next to is approve and ratify a placement service contract with Adriel School, the period February 108 to June 3009, in the amount of $278,178. Next, Children's Services also requests you to approve another placement service contract with Bunker Hill Haven for Boys, Inc., and ratify from the period of February 108 to June 3009 in the amount of $595,000 even. The next item is with Children's Services to approve a contract with Montgomery County Commissioners for use of the CEGIS system for the calendar year of 2009 in the amount of $25,000. This particular contract allows the exchange of information between counties in conjunction with background and monitoring parents that might be foster parents in both counties. Next, we have a agreement with Inspiration Homes for placement services and ratify from the period of February 108 to June 3009 in the amount of $83,434. Next item that Children's Services request is an agreement with Sojourner Recovery Services for substance abuse treatment, ratified back to the period of September 2908 to September 3009 in the amount of $280,000. Children also is submitting another contract with the Community Behavioral Health for mental health services for the calendar year of 2009. Not to exceed $140,000. The next resolution from Children's Services is an agreement with Tri-State Youth Authority for placement services, ratified back to the period February 108 to June 3009. And a last item from Children's Services is to approve a contract with CompuWare for consulting services for the period January 1, 2009 to February 28, 2009, in the amount of $23,400. And this is for maintenance and consulting on the state SACWIS system. So go into Water and Sewer. Water and Sewer has five requests for you to consider today. First is to advertise for bids for the purchase of sodium aluminate. Next is to release one-year maintenance bond for public water and sewer lines extensions to Titersville Retail Center. Next is a release one-year maintenance bond for public sewer line extension to the shops of Monroe Crossing Speedway Service Drive. Next is to approve and execute contract for Big Monroe Parallel Force Main with Adelita Construction in the amount of $1,109,404. And finally, Water and Sewer requests you to approve a one-year extension to a contract with Polydyne Inc. for the purchase of wastewater polymer for the period January 23rd, 09 to January 22nd, 010. As we move on to the engineer has six requests for you today. First is to authorize the allocation of $19,515 from the permissive motor vehicle tax fund for street maintenance in the city of Middletown. Next is to cancel maintenance bonds for the Windy Meadows Estates. Next is to exchange of bonds for the Brindleward Estates. Next is to approve an agreement with Aerial Technology for aerial photography and topography mapping in the amount not to exceed $15,055. Engineer, also your request to approve an amendment to an agreement with WEC Engineering for engineering services for the Riley Millville Road Bridge replacement in the amount of $6,974. And finally, the engineer requests you approve an agreement with Miami University for Miami University Environmental Services to provide consulting for outflows and stream sampling in the amount of $24,420. As we go into miscellaneous, we have three miscellaneous, but I have pulled one of those, so we have two to consider today. The first is to approve an agreement with the Auditor of State for the preparation of the annual comprehensive annual financial report in amount not to exceed $18,800. And then finally, to designate Commissioner Jolivet to the Board of Directors and Trustees of the Center for Family Solutions. Finally, we have 105 payments for you to review and approve today.
Move to approve.
Second.
Commissioner Furman?
Yes.
Commissioner Jolivet?
Yes.
Commissioner Dixon?
Yes.
Next item on the agenda is the 2009 general fund budget. As part of the general fund budget, we have broken out separately the Board of Elections budget to be considered and approved today. And then that Board of Elections will be included in the amount approved for the total general fund, but this first separates out the Board of Elections specific fund and approves it specifically and separately. Based upon the submissions and reviews of the Board of Election budget, we recommend approval today of a general fund budget for the Board of Elections of Butler County in the amount of $2,807,392 even.
You want a resolution on that?
Yes, sir. Motion.
Move to approve.
Second.
Commissioner Furman?
Yes.
Commissioner Jolivet?
Yes.
Commissioner Dixon abstain. Next item on the agenda is to consider the 2009 budget for the general fund. As you recall, the non-general funds were previously approved in January. At that time, a provisional or part-year budget was approved for the general fund as we continue to look and refine those numbers. We do have some handouts that, Bob, can you, they've already been distributed?
Been distributed.
Okay, very good. So we want to talk about the general fund. As I mentioned, even though the Board of Elections are included in these numbers, they have been, the Board of Elections specifically has been approved separately. The final vote on here with Mr. Dixon really will be all the other departments when we're ready to consider that particular vote. But as you recall, our country recently completed a presidential election, and I think the major theme in that presidential election from both parties is change. Well, the word change, as it was used in the election, is really an understatement, because as it relates to the global, national, and statewide and local economies, boy, a significant change has occurred. And in fact, the change is affecting Butler County government in an unprecedented manner. The significant downturn in the economy affects our businesses, our households, and our government. You know, as a result, you know, we in government have to reinvent ourselves to react to the economic reality. And hitting home, this economic reality is that our revenues in 2009 will be $7 million less than 2008. You know, that is an unprecedented event, something that in my tenure at the county we've never experienced. We've always had to deal with limited revenues because of our lower sales tax rate, but this type of decline is unprecedented. And the recovery from this type of decline is something that doesn't happen overnight. The bottom drops out, but the recovery is only going to be whenever the recovery comes. You know, at $1 or $2 million a year, we're not going to jump back up $7 million all in 1 year. So when I talk about change, it is a significant change. Now, what line items have declined? And if you look at your first slide, we have listed the major line items of revenue that have showed a significant decline in 2009. First of all, investment income is down by $3 million. Secondly, sales taxes will be down by $3 million. Thirdly, the property transfer tax is down $500,000. Building regulation fees down $500,000. All other revenue items combined reduce another $400,000. Now, these declines are a result of really the changing economy. The decline in the equity markets, it has really significantly placed a strain, particularly with the limitability of credit, has put a strain on the bond or the investment market, you know, i.e. that's why our investment revenues are declining so significantly. Even though we're in a safe and secure area of investment, the returns are not the same returns as we realized 12 months ago, 15 months ago. Sales tax is subject to the economic conditions. In 08, we benefited by a higher rate for the first 3 months that we don't have in 09. The rate is stabilized at the current permanent sales tax rate. So we have a combination of that decline plus the weakening economy. If we just look at our auto sales for the period of November, they are at the lowest unit sales in decades, which directly impacts sales tax. If we look at the recent announcements today on auto sales from the major automakers, again, a 38-40% decline from the same period last year. So it's safe to say that with a $7 million drop in our revenues, we are significantly challenged. And as a result of a challenge, various departments and various people step up in a time of diversity. And I would like to thank the departments, the Butler County office holders, department heads, and their business managers for their cooperation and our efforts to reduce budgets to reflect the significant and unprecedented economic times, conditions that our county is entering into and have been in. You know, we need to continue to go down this rough path or road through 2009 and 2010, and it will continue to be a difficult one. All departments and county operations need to be flexible enough to cooperate as changes occur, because basically we're holding on for the ride at this point in time. We don't know how much more severe it will become. We certainly are cautiously optimistic that a recovery comes in the economy, you know, within a relatively short period of time, but we're not optimistic that that is going to occur in time in 2009 in order to help us during the period of 2010. As we move on to the second slide, what I want to do is navigate through the process or path that we have already taken. From the original budgets that were submitted for 2009 by our various department heads, we asked all departments to reconsider those budgets and look at the cutting 10% out of those budgets. And the departments reacted by cutting out $4.5 million. We had established a target of $7 million to reduce our budget by. At the initial reductions, various departments responded by, you know, slashing their budgets by $4.5 million. The second slide there depicts the level of budget reductions that each department, you know, has taken during that initial reduction. And as I had indicated, our goal was $7 million, so $4.5 million left us a little short of the goal. The reason why it's important that we come close to the goal, as I mentioned before, is that we don't know what the expectation for 2010 is. We don't know how healthy we're going to be going into 2010. If we don't make some sacrifices today, those sacrifices are going to be magnified as we reach the period and look at 2010. So our staff revisited the budgets, you know, and were able to look at budgets and basically trim another $1.9 million, you know, out of the revised budgets. We're referring to that as the second reductions, and they appear on page 3. And there's a list of the reductions that were taken by the various departments. As I indicated, that our goal was $7 million, we don't quite get there. So what we will need to do at this point is to look to liquidate some of our cash reserves in order to still meet that shortfall. And I must tell you that we do not take a liquidation of cash reserves very lightly. It's been a struggle to accumulate the reserves at the level where they are now, which are a level that is appropriate for a county our size. And our investment bond or our bond rating depends upon that cash level. So, as I indicated, we don't take the liquidation of cash reserve very lightly, but we are liquidating reserve. And we're hoping that this is going to be enough to sustain us as we enter into 2010, because we will not have the luxury of liquidating cash reserves in 2010, because then the levels will be critically low and very difficult to manage at that point in time. Needless to say, more difficult times are ahead for us. You know, needless to say that Butler County has not been immune. If you just look at the anguish that is going around at various surrounding counties, no one can expect that Butler County, for some reason, would be immune from the same level of difficulty due to the economic downturn. As I mentioned before, and if we go to the next slide, slide 4, that's a summary of the reductions that have been made. The initial reduction, the second reduction, and the total reduction. And then finally, the long schedule, which is the next slide, which is slide 5, is a department-by-department representation of the initial budget, the first reduction to that budget, and then the second reduction to that budget. And then the second reduction column to that budget is going to be the final budget that we propose for adoption today. Also on that schedule shows 2008. I mentioned before that a great number of the departments were very cooperative in this effort, and I want to thank them again. Partnering for change at Butler County is a difficult process, particularly when, you know, approximately 60% of your expense is tied to human capital. When you talk about human capital, and you talk about people that you work with and you see every day, it makes this process in these times of distress that much difficult. So when our budget is 60% of our, when our compensation is 60% of our total budget, certainly human capital has to be affected. You know, human capital includes salaries, includes personnel counts, et cetera. Some of the actions that we've taken and some of the actions that some of the other various departments have taken is salary reductions for certain employees. You also hear it out in the private sector, you know, where various companies are, their personnel are taking reductions in salaries and wages. You know, a freeze on all non-collective bargaining unit increases and step increases. We're being affected by employee layoffs. You know, in fact, if you look at the 2000 and 2009 period, and not only the general fund, but most of the other funds, primarily the commissioner's funds, there's been attrition, there's been layoffs, there's been position eliminations, positions not filled. You know, in total, we have about, over 2008 and 2009, we have a total of about 63 positions that are affected one way or another, again, through attrition, through not replacing, and through some sort of job termination. Those are very difficult decisions to make. We're also in a process substantially of eliminating most, if not all, of our part-time employees at the county. We have looked at various times at reducing work hours. I know some of the prosecutor's office and the courts are considering certain periods of the year where they may be closing. These are unprecedented changes that are occurring in government to address the distress that the economy is in. We certainly are taking a position to be more aggressive in our collective bargaining negotiations. We continue to examine, you know, and have put in place plans to reduce other salaries within county operations. We're eliminating certain key departments. Basically, the 2009 period is a period of time where we have to hunker down, to use a poor term, but we have to critically. So we have to eliminate some, you know, some departments and reallocate that those job requirements and absorb them in other departments. So there's significant impacts that are going on, have gone on, and will continue to go on, you know, with the county and its operations as we move forward. Because I mentioned earlier, it's still going to be a rough road as we move through 2009 into 2010. As you look to the next to the last slide, it provides a summary of our 2007 budget. The slide does a 2008 budget, and then the proposed 2009 budget today. As you can see by the graph, we're significantly less than the 2008 budget, and we're at or near the 2007 budget. But, you know, that doesn't tell the whole story. If we get into the final slide will show you a department breakdown of 2007 actual, 2008 actual, and it's the final schedule, which is a long schedule, and a 2009 proposed budget. And if you look at the 2009 proposed budget, you'll find that 42 of the 51 departments listed either are below or very near their 2008 expense levels. 42 out of 51. Again, thanks to the cooperation of our office holders, our department heads, and our business managers. If you look further, 29 of those departments are below their 2007 operating expense levels. 13 departments are below their 2006 operating expense levels. These are tough adjustments to make for these various departments. Some of them are going back to their operating expense levels two, three years ago. So overall, what we're proposing today is to adopt a general fund budget in the amount of $91,254,489. That represents a $3.5 million reduction over the 2008 actual expenditures, or a 3.7% drop. As we look at the various components of the general fund, and when I say components, I'm looking at administration, I'm looking at a justice and legal, public assistance, and debt service. And we see the makeup of that, you know, also significantly changes. Administration, for example, in 08 was 26% of the total general fund budget. It's declining to 22%. Justice and legal at 59% increases to 63%. Public assistance and debt service remain relatively the same. As Butler County moves forward, we look forward to a spirit of cooperation where we plan to schedule monthly meetings with public officials and department heads to review and discuss the changing conditions affecting county operations, because I do believe they will be constantly changing. Since this is not business as usual, these meetings and discussions will be paramount to sustain budget stability during our times of continued stress. And finally, before I open it up for any questions, and then a resolution for approval and adoption of this budget in the amount of $91,254,489. You know, I want to express our appreciation and sincere concern for our employees at Butler County. This is not a pleasant time for anyone. They, as well as us, and all of us, including our county residents, you know, will need to continue to make sacrifices as we endure the economic instability, you know, of our national and local economies. So at this point in time, I'll open up for any comments or questions before we consider the adoption of the proposed budget.
Mr. President, I've got a couple of comments, if I may.
Sure.
First of all, I'd like to express appreciation to Bob Lowry and Tim Williams for their many hours of hard work on this number crunching, and for their numerous nights of lost sleep, which I know that they've had. And I think it's important that we impress on how we've all wrestled with the many, many scenarios to come up with as few layoffs as possible. Anytime you have layoffs involved, it's extremely painful to have to execute any of these. And we do not take these actions lightly. As has been stated here numerous times today, this is unprecedented times, and we have to take unprecedented measures, as painful as it is. And we do want to express appreciation to the other office holders and department heads for working with us in this most important budget.
Thank you. Mr. Jolivet?
Yeah, I'd like to also thank Tim and Bob and all the office holders who've cooperated so well with us to make sure we have a balanced and efficient and budget that we will still be providing, you know, the top quality service to the taxpayers and residents of Butler County, because that is our mission, and that is our why we were here. You know, several months ago, as we were, you know, we looked at the projections of the revenue and saw that the investment income was just falling, free falling, and our projections for sales tax wasn't any brighter. I happened to be in a establishment business, and a gentleman asked me about the budget and how it was going, and I said, well, it's going to be tough times. We're not so much of office holders wanting more money. It's just the fact that the revenues were not there. And he said to me, he said, well, why don't you just raise the sales tax back up to 6.5? And I looked at him, I said, well, that's, you know, that's crazy in these economic times, because, you know, we want to help people not have to spend more money. You know, I am very proud of the fact that Butler County has the lowest sales tax rate almost in the whole state of Ohio, at least in the we're in the top four, and I think that is something that we should always strive for, to keep the tax burden low on our citizens, but yet still provide top-notch service as they need, from safety to legal to all the different services that we provide. You know, the thing that was one of my goals when I first came on the commission is looking at the reserves and seeing how woefully low they were. I think they were about $7 or $8 million, I believe, and we were at risk of losing our bond rating, being downgraded, which would have adversely affected not only the money that we pay out, but also our prestige and our ability to have good economic development posture within the business community. So that is why, when after the sales tax was paid the 800 megahertz radio system, which was desperately needed and anxiously awaiting to be put online, that we moved it from that 6.5 back to 6%, but 6.25, because I knew that we had to build up those reserves and in order to maintain our bond rating and to make sure that we did have somewhat of a cushion for a rainy day such as this. No one would predict that we would be looking at a $7 million shortfall on our revenues, given the fact that Butler County is one of the fastest-growing counties in the state, but here we are. So those actions that we took then were very important. But I don't see that there is a need at this point to make an effort to raise the sales tax by another 0.25%. And I don't foresee that need for hopefully not in the next several years. But that will be determined on how the economy comes back. But, you know, we are in tough times, and it takes cooperation and collaboration by all office holders, all the people that are involved in the general fund budget, and the community. Every day in the paper we see that this company is laying off and that company is laying off, and the unemployment rate is skyrocketing, not only in Butler County but the state of Ohio. And that's another reason for my concern, is that, you know, the state of Ohio has a $5 billion shortfall that they have to fix by July 1st. And I know that we've taken a hit on the local government fund of what, Tim, about $700,000? $300,000. And that's out of a total of a $5 million revenue. But that's being in the State House when budgets were tough, you know, I know from experience that is usually one of the first ones on the chopping blocks to take a look at. So we have to be vigilant there and be ready to call to action our legislative delegation to make sure that they do not allow that to happen, because that'd be catastrophic not only for the county but also for all the other governments within Butler County. So, you know, it's not an easy day for me. This is not something that I like to, you know, I've been in public service since about 1981, give or take, and I could say that this is, you know, within, I know of some other days that weren't very bright either, and this is certainly one of those days today out of a 25-plus year history. So I don't take any relish in laying people off, but I do feel that it's something that we have to do, and hopefully that the people who are affected by this will be able to utilize our resources of training and retraining, and that they will find themselves back on their feet in very short order. And hopefully if the economy does improve, which I'm sort of a half-full guy, I feel that it's going to come back soon, but you never know. But I'm optimistic that it will, just because of the resilience of the American people, that we will have better times in the near future. But I appreciate my colleagues, because I know that it's been tough going back and forth with this budget, and Tim going from you to them to back to me, and the few meetings that we've had with together, it's been great to be able to work with the two of you, because we all, I think, are definitely on the same page about what needs to be done, and I look forward to continuing to work to make sure that the services that we provide the citizens are the top-notch and are done in a timely fashion. Thank you.
Thanks, Greg.
Thank you.
I think you and Chuck and Tim did an excellent job in the presentation. I just had a couple things that I want to speak to. I think this is the first time that we've worked with our office holders as closely as we have, and they've really done an outstanding job, and I know everybody's not happy. But then on the other hand, we're not happy because it's not where we're not, we are, haven't cut enough to stay out of the reserves. I think we are a lot better than most counties. We're not ahead of the curve. I said we're not that far behind it, but we have to be vigilant on where this economy is going to take us, because as all of being hopeful that it's going to turn around, everything that you read indicates that this is going to be a prolonged recovery. And we're no different than, we have to run government like our taxpayers have to run their households, and let's balance the budget, make do more with less. And they're cutting, and we got the message, and we get the message. We feel their pain, and we're cutting just like they are. We're all saddened by having to reduce staff, but in fact, we really had no choice. We don't. We can't print money. You have to balance the budget. We have to stay competitive to our other counties in economic development. And although today you heard that we are eliminating the economic development department per se in this building, for many, many years, it's always under the development department that we have, and that will go back to the way it was probably in the last 4 or 5 years it was changed. It'll go back to the way it was for many years, and as the development department will then do the duties of the economic development department. And we have all of our townships now are all of our bigger townships, Liberty Township, Westchester Township, where most of the activity is in growth, have superb economic development departments in their own division. So we're a supplement to them anyway. But don't get the impression that we're eliminating economic development, because that's not jobs. Priorities number one, retention jobs are just right there alongside. I want to make one thing perfectly clear, and I do appreciate the cooperation that we had between the board. None of this was difficult for any of us, and we all don't have the same ideas at the same time, but we can disagree and do it in a professional manner and work through it and come up with a solution. I think that's what you see this budget is. But Greg alluded to the sales tax, and I've got to say, I'm not there. So sales tax is not in my on my radar screen. I think it's not the right time to raise taxes. We should be cutting taxes, reducing the size of government, and that's a philosophy of mine. But I saw Josh writing back there.
I hope I didn't give the impression that it was my idea to raise it. That's so certainly not.
I just want to make it perfectly clear that I don't think that sales tax is on anybody's radar screen.
That was never mentioned in any of the scenarios that we had at all.
No. Yeah, so that's, yeah, so.
I hope I didn't convey that message.
Yeah, so our philosophy is reducing the tax burden. The commissioners have worked. We've worked together to reduce some property taxes in this last reevaluation. We've talked to the auditor. We're on a board. You know, we have a role in the board of revisions. We're very aware that taxes are a burden to our residents, and the least taxes, the better it is for jobs, economic development. And maybe we can get some of these people back to work, and certainly they will have the first callback rights if that happens, but we continue to work on that program. Again, we're putting some different programs in place that's going to help us monitor the expenditures and the income. For the first time, the commission is going to be calling monthly Office of Management and Budget meetings where we'll share with all the office holders at one time all the income streams, all the expenditures, where we are, where we see it trending, and we'll all have to react to the economic conditions that come our way. But Tim, you and Bob Lowry and the rest of the team and my fellow board members, you know, I can't tell you how proud I am of the steps we made and of how far we've come. And it's going to be, the pain's not over. It's going to continue. We'll be stronger and better when we come out of it, and we will come out of it. So I think it's is it a budget that I think is what I'd like to see? No, I don't think it's a budget anybody ideally likes to see, but I think it's a good budget. Thank you. Do we have any comments from anybody in the audience? Anybody have any comments or questions?
Can we ask a question?
Sure. Fine, come up and just state your name for the record. And you got 5 seconds. I'm just kidding.
That's all right. Kenny Craig is my name with the Greater Hamilton Chamber of Commerce. Thanks for the report today. I'm sure it's been very, very difficult. I get to work with businesses every day, and as one of you said, you feel their pain, the residents, the businesses. Almost every day I'm talking to a new business is telling me about their pain. So I can understand how you feel like you need to follow suit and follow what the rest of the world's doing. I have a couple questions about this that perhaps you can answer. One question has to do with the sales tax projection declines. What process was used? I understand that you had actual declines at the end of 08. So what process are you using to determine what your total declines will be in 09?
Well, basically twofold. Number one, we know that the during the first 3 months of 08, we collected at a higher rate than we are right now. So okay. Out of the gate, you're $3 million down at least.
Okay.
Now for the first 5 months of the year, we believe that we'll show a small amount of growth the next 7 months of 2009. We're just projecting a flat growth. Basically, at that point in time, we're just holding on.
Okay.
Because in January, our sales tax collections came in. they only indicated a 0.9% growth. So we were looking at hoping to have a little higher growth, you know, in that particular area. So we're very anxious to see what our February collection is going to be, because it's going to be based upon November. And if you recall in the news media in November, the automakers had indicated that that was their lowest unit sales in decades, not just in months, in decades. So we're curious to see what that is. So at this point in time, I think we can say that our projection is aggressive, although not showing much growth. It's still aggressive.
Okay.
And we'll have to continue to monitor that on a month-by-month basis.
So it's fair to say this might be a conservative number, that the sales tax numbers?
I would say just the opposite. I would say it's an aggressive forecast. Okay, that we may not be able to get to that level.
Right. I think we're saying the same thing. We actually, your sales tax revenues might be less
correct
than what you're projecting. Okay.
Montgomery County's last month compared to our month, I mean, just comparison, and I know we have a different tax base than they got, but we're in the region. We were trending you might as well call us flat. They had dropped 9%.
Okay.
So with seeing the layoffs and the foreclosures in the retail sector, Bridgewater Falls,
right.
It's conceivable and very probable we won't meet those numbers.
Sure.
You know, you also put in Elder Bierman that,
right.
You know, that announced since did our projections. So if we have more of those, that's going to affect the bottom line too.
I think our projection is, I believe our projections were about $500,000 a year in sales tax from Elder Bierman.
Yeah.
I don't know if those numbers are right or not, but that's our internal projections.
Mm-hmm.
Second question is, and I don't know who direct this one to, maybe Greg, has to do with the local government fund. With the state of Ohio's budget woes, it seems that they are banking on the federal bailout, or whatever you want to call it. If they're successful in getting the monies from the federal government, which is us, of course, will the local government fund continue to be cut, or is that something that we need to be pushing our legislators on, as I mentioned last Friday at a meeting that you and I were at?
Right. I think that we have to continue to push them as they get, you know, the budget goes into the House first.
Right.
And I'm not sure who's on the Finance Committee, but Representative Cooley was on it
last year.
Is he still
appointed?
So he is going to be an important person for Butler County to make sure he protects the local government fund.
Okay.
Because I can tell you that, you know, when you're sitting up in Columbus, it's easy to cut that because you don't, you know, it's just something that, you know, say, hey, let's do that from a governor's standpoint. Right. So it does take a concerted effort by our legislators and others to make sure they realize the impact by cutting that is because, and it's based on, Tim, a formula based on sales tax, the state sales tax.
Okay.
So it's going to go down probably anyway just by the mere fact of the economy.
Right.
But we don't want to have it eliminated altogether.
My understanding is there are formulas. You get a certain percentage of different incomes that come into the state that come back to the local governments. But I think if they do receive this bailout money, is there a way that some of that can be thrown back in? Would be a question to ask of Bill Coley and Representative Coley and others that are involved in that.
I think one of the, you know, with the stimulus package, I think what we have to also tell our delegation and the governor's office is of our shovel-ready projects that would help our construction industry and jobs there. So, you know, our first top priority is Bypass 4,
right,
which is ready to go.
Yep.
And so we need to make sure a concerted effort to tell the governor's office that, hey, you know, we've got a great story here in Butler County with road projects. You know, you build a road and we'll bring the jobs.
Okay.
You know, Union Center is a perfect example of that.
Right.
So right behind the Bypass 4 would be, you know, I think State Route 63, which is, you know, farther out. But I think if it gets on the right track, that'll just be another job engine for the northern part of the county.
Sure.
Kenny, let me just add one thing to that. This job stimulus, if it's not handled carefully, is going to make it, I think, put us in a worse position long term than we're headed on our own. And if we do get this windfall of money, it can't grow the government, the size of government. We still have to continue to reduce the size of government. You know, we just have to. We cannot keep spending and hiring people and creating more jobs in the public sector when the private sector can't generate those kind of jobs. I mean, we have to get real jobs. And there's a difference between private sector and public sector. But where I'm going with this is, this year we didn't get the income that we thought we were going to get. We have not paid any additional long-term debt down for the county, which I think was a real hard pill for me to swallow, because we've got to get our debt under control. I mean, it's not under control. But we need to get it off our back. It lets us push more dollars into economic development rather than interest payments,
right,
and roads and whatever, things that create real jobs. So, you know, we deferred that payment this year and put it in our carryover because we knew we were going to be eating into this possible this budget. Of course, if we couldn't have balanced what we did, it would have been more than we would have made in debt payment anyway. But you know, we need to make certain that just because that money's out there, that we don't grow the size of government. We create jobs with it, do the stimulus with it, pay our debt down. And I really don't see the government, our jobs growing back in government. I think we're going to continue to shrink. I think we're going to continue to reorganize and get leaner and meaner, so to speak, as they say in the private sector.
Sure.
You know, so I think we got to be very aware of this extra money we get, where we spend it.
I agree. I think my time is winding down here, my 5 seconds, but yes, I agree, the federal government probably needs to do the same thing in relation to the size of government. You had mentioned of other people in the development department doing economic development. When you're prepared to let us know who those people are, who would we talk to about that? Because I think we do work pretty closely with the county on things, and we want to make sure that we're appointing people to the right folks. And as soon as you know who that is, if you'd let us know, that'd be great. Okay?
Well, Mike Engling will be.
I know Mike. I know Mike. I'm assuming he's going to be signing that to people. Okay. I only have one other thing. I have something I'd like to give you today. It's not a negative, it's a positive. So if I could submit something to you.
Thanks, Ken.
Yep.
Not completely up to date because of some of the announcements made today, but it does have the new president in there. So if you want to, I guess he's still carrying his Palm Pilot, so you can still email the president. But I have a box of those I'm going to take up to the commissioner's office this morning. And if you need more of those, please let me know.
Great.
Thanks for letting me speak.
Thank you. Appreciate it anytime. Anybody else have anything?
Okay.
You have a motion?
I have one thing before we close. Judge Kessler, did you walk to work today?
Sure. I walk every day.
That is amazing. I think it was the coldest day today.
Of the year
we've had.
I walked all last week. It was a lot harder last week.
With the snow and everything. Wow.
Do we have a motion to approve the budget?
So move.
Second.
Commissioner Furman?
Yes.
Commissioner Jolivet?
Yes.
Commissioner Dixon?
Yes. I believe that takes us to the Water and Sewer Department.
Next agenda item is the adoption of a reorganizational plan. We have, I think, two resolutions to consider before Bob Leventry gets into the details of the reorganizational plan. The first resolution is to, as part of the reorganizational plan, is to appoint Robert Leventry to the position of Director of Water and Sewer Department.
So move.
Second.
Commissioner Furman?
Yes.
Mr. Jolivet?
Yes.
Commissioner Dixon?
Yes.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
The next resolution is to designate Susan Vance to be appointed to the Administrative Division Head for the Water and Sewer Department.
Move to approve.
Second.
Commissioner Furman?
Yes.
Mr. Jolivet?
Yes.
Commissioner Dixon?
Yes.
Next, we have two more resolutions to consider once Mr. Leventry has given his presentation on looking at water and sewer and continuing our efforts to get back to basics with water and sewer, and to, you know, echo some comments Commissioner Dixon made, get to a point where the organization is leaner and meaner. So, Bob, without further ado, you have the floor.
Thank you, Tim. Thank you, gentlemen, for having me today.
Congratulations, Bob.
And thank you for the promotion. I won't go into any details about some of the things we all talked about here and you talked about in terms of difficulties with our economy, slower growth, and revenue decline. It's palpable that they've affected not only the general fund, but they've affected our department as well. In answer to that, we saw this coming back in the first half of 2008. And we were directed back then to come up with ways to lower water and sewer costs and lower water and sewer rates. You alluded to it, Tim, and we called that plan that we adopted back in May a back-to-basics type of approach. And in that approach, we moved some salaries, we lowered some salaries, we moved salaries to other departments, we reduced purchase services and all sorts of costs, we eliminated the summer help program, we reduced travel and training costs, we eliminated a PR program, we made other efforts in operations to reduce costs, we eliminated vehicle allowances, we scaled back our initiatives in areas of environmental awareness. And to symbolize those back to basic approach, we changed our name from Environmental Services to Water and Sewer. Throughout the balance of 2008, we were able to attrit 8 employees from the workforce without replacement. We further reduced costs in electric and biosolids processing, which realized significant operational savings. We organized a cost-cutting team to help us in the areas of materials and supplies and purchase services, and led to further reductions. That all led, as we prepared our budgets from 2008 to 2009, we were able to significantly curtail our operation maintenance budgets in various areas. In the labor area from 2008 to 2009, we were able to cut our labor salary budgets, including benefits, over the year by 11.7%. This is in sewer. In the sewer, materials and supplies went down 3.6. Electric power was reduced by 16%. We'll go through every one of them. Suffice it to say, significant budget reductions were made in the sewer operation. Likewise, in the water operation, we reduced salaries by 12.2%. Materials and supplies by a nominal 0.2%. Electric power by 23% by taking advantage of lower priced and higher pressure Cincinnati water. And our utility costs similarly went down by over 40%. That's all well and good, and this will lead to a significant water and sewer rate reduction, as I'll point out. But we're not done yet. We have further work to do in 2009, and we began it, as we saw last week, by refinancing some sewer debt and some sewer bonds. That will further reduce our costs in the sewer system operation by over $2.9 million over the next 4 years. This brings us up to date to where we are today. And we must ask ourselves how we can further reduce our costs of water and sewer to our customers.
can we, in this difficult economic times, it's incumbent on us to not to collect any more money from our water and sewer customers than we need to. And it asks the question, should we keep employees to deliver those non-core services, and can we make further reductions in really any cost category to lower monthly sewer bills and rates to the absolute minimum? And I think the answer to that is yes, and I think I heard that loud and clear from the commission today. Therefore, I'm recommending the board adopt a proposal to eliminate 14 positions in the Water and Sewer Department. Those positions, there will be 9 positions eliminating, affecting 8 currently occupied non-bargaining unit positions. 6 bargaining unit positions will be eliminated, 5 of which are occupied, 1 of which is vacant. The cost implications of those reductions are significant. In the water system side, these labor reductions will reduce total labor on an annualized basis of about $538,000 on the water side only. To that, we subtract about $60,000 of unemployment costs. The net savings to the water system operation is $478,000 on an annual basis. On the sewer side, we save annual salary and benefit costs of $719,000. Unemployment costs attributable to those labor cuts is about $89,000. The net sewer savings on an annualized basis to the sewer system operation after unemployment costs are $629,000. As we know, the whole point of this is to reduce the cost to our customers. And we will be rolling out very shortly a rate plan which will do just that. And I want to give you a look at some of the draft rate reductions. In the sewer system side, residential class customers will see a 10 to 11% rate reduction in their sewer rates and their sewer bills. Multifamily class sewer system customers will see a 15% reduction in sewer rates. Commercial class customers will see it, and industrial class customers, our business people, will see commercial class customers will be over 20%, industrial class customers will be about 15% reduction in sewer side. As to the water system side of the ball, residential water bills will decrease by about 4%. Multifamily rates will decrease by 11%. Commercial and industrial class water system bills will decline in excess of 20%. With that, we've all talked about how painful and distasteful and how saddened we are about the unemployment costs, the layoffs. And with that, we will offer a employee assistance program. They'll be offered unemployment compensation. We'll be granting them paid leave through the effective date of the layoff, which is February 22nd. And we'll be reoffering reemployment assistance through Workforce One. With that, I'll open it up for questions.
Board have any questions?
No. As stated before, Bob, I think Commissioner Dixon hit on it. Those will be the first people for callback in the event that there's any other openings come about that we can fill and so on.
Yeah, you know, I'd just like to comment. You know, Bob, thank you very much, and also thank you to Sue, because you know last year, you know, we brought you in to with our instructions, go back and we want to see a water and sewer rate reduction plan, because as I feel it, my first allegiance is to the ratepayers who pay to have good quality service in the most cost-effective manner. And I felt that we could do better with our rates. And as we looked at where we stood in the Oakwood survey, I wasn't very happy, and I know the commission wasn't very happy of where we stood. So in you and Sue went back at that time and brought us a plan. it was a good plan, but it, you know, it, as it affected employees in the unions, we wanted to make sure it was the right plan. And also, I think we had some concerns about the financial piece of it with the reissuing of the bonds. So this isn't something that my point is, this isn't something that we decided just yesterday to undertake. It's been an ongoing process, and I want to thank you and Sue for staying with it. And I think that this plan here is really, during these tough economic times, the residents and also, you know, more importantly, our business community in Butler County who rely on our water and sewer are going to be very appreciative, and will also help us with economic development. If someone is looking for a place to locate their business, they're going to say, Butler County just lowered their commercial rates by 20% to 15% in the sewer and 20% in the water. That's a great message to send out. And we can do it, with the lean organization. So, I'm willing to accept your recommendations and have the confidence that that you can run this operation and organization. And I'm looking forward to your tenure as director. And I know it's going to be tough times for people, not only with the non-bargaining unit, but also the bargaining unit. There, you've got your work cut out for you today to explain that to everyone. But I think the both sides, whether you're a bargaining unit or a non-bargaining unit, you knew that this day was coming. So I don't think it's going to come as much surprise to them. It doesn't make it pleasant. But again, I think everyone who's in the organization has to realize that our first duty is to the ratepayers. And with your recommendations that we can lower rates and provide the service, that's a good thing. So thank you.
Welcome.
I just got a couple more comments. One, Bob, is, this has been ongoing for months, trying to work through the personnel issue and then on the bargaining side. I know one of the options that you came up with, and we concurred, was when you asked the bargaining unit if they would do some concessions. Can you give us an update on that?
Well, I believe that our labor management committee met in August to consider essentially alternatives to layoffs and or staffing reductions through wage and or salary concessions with the bargaining unit. And it's my understanding that the bargaining unit did meet and declined to offer up a plan that would address those issues. And that's really the end of the story there. Since then, we have not had any bargaining sessions in order to talk about where we're going with our next bargaining unit contract, which has expired and is, we need to negotiate a new one. So we'll be doing that. We'll be doing that soon.
But the offer was there.
So the bargaining unit had the opportunity to come up with a plan to prevent some of the staff reduction in the bargaining side. And the answer was.
The answer was they did not present a plan to do that.
Okay. So it's not like we haven't put a big effort into this to try and work every issue we could. So I think that's probably pretty important to get that get that clarified. The other thing is, just quickly, when we talked about we're not eliminating the Economic Development Department, this is a major tool, this reduction in our commercial industrial rate. You got Pierre Foods, who uses tremendous amount of water, struggling, having a hard time. You got a number of different manufacturers use a lot of water. Amlin's going to use a lot of water.
Yes, sir.
And when you tell them that you're going to reduce their water rate by 20-some percent, if it doesn't get new people hired, it surely has to help them retain the people that they have and improve the bottom line. So I think that goes to the concept of this board is smaller government, less cost, it's better for the businesses, I think it, at the end of the day, if we ever needed any economic stimulus help right now in the economy, it's today. You know, so, you know, we're not going to let up, and, you know, we're not going to let up on the economic development side of it, and job retention and job creation, but this is a major step, I think, in that towards that goal.
I agree.
Anybody have anything else?
No, appreciate the job you've done, Bob. It's been under some terrible conditions, I know, but appreciate your sticking with it and doing the job.
Thank you.
Any questions for anybody in the audience?
Two resolutions to pass.
So we have two resolutions to pass. Jim?
Yes, sir. The first resolution is a resolution that confirms or the restructuring plan, specifically water and sewer, is to proceed with a reduction in non-bargaining unit workforce in accordance with section 124.321 through 124.327 of the Ohio Revised Code, abolishing designated position. The board hereby will find and conclude and indicate that there's a lack of continued need for these positions within the water and sewer, and their abolishment serves the interests of the economy of water and sewer in Butler County. A total of 9 positions in a non-bargaining unit are to be abolished. Motion.
Move to approve.
Second.
Commissioner Furman.
Yes.
Mr. Jolivet.
Yes.
Commissioner Dixon.
Yes.
The next resolution to consider is, again, the continuation initiation of the restructuring plan, commencing with the adoption of this resolution. Specifically, water and sewer is to proceed with a reduction in bargaining unit workforce in accordance with Article 20 of the agreement between Butler County Board of Commissioners and Local 3396, Ohio Council 8 of ASME, through abolishment of positions for reasons of economy. There are a total of 6 bargaining unit positions to be eliminated.
Move to approve.
Second.
Commissioner Furman.
Yes.
Mr. Jolivet.
Yes.
Commissioner Dixon.
Yes.
Is that all you have, Tim?
Yes, sir.
That's all we have. Anybody have any comments from the floor? Commissioners have any other comments? Mm-hmm. Motion to adjourn.
Move to adjourn.
Second.
Commissioner Furman?
Yes.
Commissioner Jolivet?
Yes.
Commissioner Dixon?
Yes.